Clarence, that wasn't the verse that I wanted. I was thinking 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our light affliction at the very end of the chapter.
Yeah, that's chapter 4.
Don't get satisfied with it, Clarence.
I'm sorry.
But that's all right. It's all good.
Well, I can read that one.
You want to read that one? I didn't read that one. So, but the lesson is be of good cheer. So no matter what you read, we're going to be of good cheer this morning. Let's take a different verse I listed in your notes for the introduction, where Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me," there's a key phrase, "in me, you might have peace. In the world," "in the world you have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Of course, I've always heard people say, well, it's my tribulations that keep me from having cheer. But Jesus said, wait a minute, it's in the world you have the troubles, trials, struggles, tribulations, but be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the world, and in me, another key phrase, in me you have the peace. We're going to look at some things this morning that stimulate or bring about cheerfulness in your life and mine. Number one is knowing that in this world others have troubles. Well, sometimes that's kind of comforting. We've heard the expression, misery loves company. We've heard the expression, we're all in the same boat. So as if that's supposed to be comforting. I still have trials, tribulations. I remember when I was teaching school full time, driving to work every morning, having to go all the way from Chula Vista to Kearney Mesa. Well, I had to get up early. We were early start school, and the teachers had to get there early. Well, I get on the 805 freeway and just gridlock. Just cars and people everywhere going the same way I am. And I would think, man, I had to get up early, drive in traffic. And then I thought for a moment, look at all these other people doing this very same thing. And I kind of had to smile to myself. I'm not alone in this. And look at all these people had to get up early too. Some had to drive farther because they're having 6 more miles coming from East Lake to get to 805 to drive north. A lot of times I'd see the same cars because we'd be leaving at the same time. I'd almost want to make new friends and wave at them. Just get in line and ride all the way to Kearney Mesa. Why? Yeah, there's some comfort in that, cheerfulness in that. I'm not alone in this struggle, trouble, or trial. And every time someone begins to tell me a hard luck story, we sometimes have to laugh a little bit because we've experienced the same thing. I know exactly what you're going through. And we smile, right? Sometimes we may even try to top their story. You think that one's bad? That's so bad. Let me tell you about mine. And we laugh a little bit again. But if you wait till you have no troubles to be cheerful, you'll never be cheerful. So we want to know how to be cheerful in the midst of struggles, in the midst of trials. Number one, just think, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. But second, knowing that cheerfulness honors Christianity. It honors Christianity. Remember the story of a family going for a drive out in the country. And then the little girl in the back seat, as they go past a farm and a pasture, she sees a mule in the pasture. The little girl says, "Daddy, is that mule a Christian?" Daddy said, "Why, no, that mule's not a Christian. Why? What caused you to ask that question?" The girl replied, "Well, because the mule has such a long face." Sometimes Christians just go around with a long face. If Christianity, up on your nose, makes you look sour, don't be surprised if nobody wants what you have. If your relationship to God and all the blessings He's given us just makes us round, a long face, I don't want what he has or she has. You ever have someone taste some bad food and they say, oh, it tastes bad. Here, try it. And if you say, no, then they'll urge you again. No, this is really bad. Try it. No. That's not a recommendation to do that. So if you're gloomy or bitter or downcast or pessimistic, that's not good advertisement for Christianity. If you're a sad sack, you're not a shining light. It's not a recommendation for Christianity. It advertises to the world that your religion is not going to sustain you during struggles or troubles or trials. And we all have them. But you say, oh, but I'm on God's side. You still have a sad faith. See, our salvation is something for us to cheer about, and that's the text that we have at the top of your notes. In me, you have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we want to be on his side. In Luke 15, verse 10, it says, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. You want to, well, God, what about all those that don't repent? Well, that ought to make me sad, but there's a joy over one. One. Acts 8, verse 39, the eunuch, the Ethiopian, after he's baptized, he sees Philip no more. But then the next phrase is, he went on his way rejoicing. He still has a long journey. But you're going to rejoice? Oh, yeah. I have something. Salvation. Number three, knowing that you may not be as bad off as you think. Some people I know magnify their troubles. Sometimes I do mine. Yeah. Let my imagination run wild. I get worried, sick, struggle. But should be calling in all the resources. I need to allow others to give me comfort. It'll help me. You know, typically when I think I have too many troubles, I talk to Dennis Burchett. And after he tells me all of his, I think I'm not so bad off after all. That's cheerfulness. He knows how to cheer me up. There's a lesson in saying, I complained because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. Yeah, we all have trouble. Trials, tribulations. But it may not be as bad off as a thing. And we sing that song, count your many blessings. I'd say count your many blights. Count your bruises. No. Count your blessings. And I like the next phrase. It says, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Easier said than done, but that's the encouragement that we strive to give to each other when you're going through troubles or trials or tribulations or hardships. May not be as bad off as we think. Number four is knowing that being cheerful pays. You know, it has its rewards. You ever even say to yourself, or sometimes you might say to someone else, you know, if I don't laugh, I'll cry. Yeah, the hurts that I'm going through, I just have to smile. I'll cry. But you see, some virtues delay their compensation. Cheerfulness pays dividends now, though. Some things we have to wait. You know, it takes time for a sore to heal. But we put the salve on it. We do everything we can to maybe try to hurry up the process, but some things just take time. But cheerfulness pays right now. In Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A merry heart pays benefits right now. I remember years ago when Jim was having surgery. heart surgery. After it's all finished, you know, when it's over, then he goes back to work and he tells all the staff members and the cohorts and everybody else, he says, I told you guys I had a heart. Or then he added to it. He says, you know, I also have good news. The doctors did a head scan and found nothing. Mary Hart does good like medicine. I'm not saying lack your troubles away. But think, when you can't change your circumstances, you change your attitude. We can change that. May not be always able to change the situation I'm in on my job site. Or with my health. May not be always possible. Or the neighborhood I live in. But I can change my attitude. So I need to know that Christianity pays. I saw this article in Bulletin Digest titled My Lucky Day. And he gives the author, Don Williams, Psalms 118, verse 24. He says, this is the day which the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And then he writes this paragraph. It says, Mr. Garland Chapman was a principal at R.E. Lee High School in Midland, Texas. And he relates an experience during his days as a grade school principal. Says, a little second grade boy started out the morning by falling from the school bus. Hit his head on the concrete, required some stitches real close to the gash. Says, recess proved a little unfortunate also as he and another boy ran together, and the result, two of his teeth were loosened and a lip busted. Well, during the afternoon, he fell and broke an arm. Mr. Chapman decided to take the boy home immediately before anything else could happen. So they were riding together on the country road toward the boy's home. The principal noticed the little guy clutching something in his hand. He said, what do you have? The little boy answered, a quarter. The principal said, where'd you get it? The boy said, I found it on the playground today, very happily. Said, and he smiled with an excited voice. He exclaimed, you know, Mr. Chapman, I've never found a quarter before. This is my lucky day. Yeah. My lucky day. Count your blessings, knowing that cheerfulness pays. Number five is knowing God's promise never to leave us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When Jesus gives the Great Commission before he ascends back to the Father, Matthew 28, verse 20, he concludes, says, I want you to teach those that you teach to observe all things that I command you. And then that last phrase, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you. In David's shepherd psalm, in Psalm 23, verse 4, he gives that phrase, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. It seemed like each phrase kind of takes him down lower. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Not that it doesn't sound good. I'm going through a valley. I'm going through a shadow of death. I won't fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. See? Knowing that God promises to never leave us. There's comfort, cheerfulness in that. It's always comforting to have somebody with us when we're going through tough times. Or when we have a task to perform and someone is, you know, is there to help us. Sometimes we might have a task, we just want somebody else there. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, you know, two walk together, so if one falls, the other's there to pick them up. You want two to walk together. We need people in our life. We need one another. But especially knowing that God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us when we have the tribulation, the hardship, the struggle, the difficulty. Number six is knowing that we always have hope. In Proverbs 10, verse 26, or 28, rather, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. The hope of the righteous. Hope is a quality that makes life worthwhile. Many times it's that which gets us through, our hope. The farmer plows in hope. He waits for the rain, and then the harvest comes. But he plowed and planted in hope of a harvest. The merchant rents a building, he buys the stock, then he opens the door for business on hope. On hope. Many times our counsel to people in trials and when they're having struggles is, don't lose hope. But when hope is lost, we begin to give up and we quit trying. You don't lose hope. Hope is that which gives us strength to bear all of the ills or the difficulties in life. I hope. So no matter what the trouble, we're hoping for relief. Even when I was teaching school, San Diego Unified, you know, I taught the special ed students, moderate severe in elementary school. You know, I'd arrive to school after that journey. But that's why I was cheerful. Look at all these other people that have to make the same drive. But once I get to school, oh, I hope for recess. Oh, yeah. Look forward to that. Oh, then the recess is over. Oh, well, there's lunchtime. Looking forward to that. Oh, you know, then I'm looking forward to 3:30. Students go home. Yeah, take those students with special needs, you know, down to the buses along with the other special education classes. Put those students on the bus.
Yeah.
And many times they're sitting at the window and I'm out there with, you know, the monitoring them and they're looking out the window And they're waving at me and smiling, like this at me. Except I'm waving like this. We're both happy and cheerful when they're waving. It's like, yeah, good. Hope. I remember a man named Malcolm Petty years ago. He was going to have surgery. And one of the surgeries, the doctor explained to him, it's going to free you from pain. And he said, but you know, there's a danger in this. You know, you may not survive. You know, he's got that word. You may not survive. Well, Malcolm says, Doc, either way, I'm free of pain. I'm free of pain. See, the person with hope never knows when he's beaten. He keeps fighting. The person with hope knows that no road is so long but what it finally turns. Hope. If you have hope, you know that there's no cloud that's so dark but what it finally passes. And then the last point in the sermon brings hope because now the lesson's almost over. You had hope. I hope this sermon ends soon. You know, well, where I'm here. In conclusion, I remember a preacher that said in conclusion seven times. About the fourth time I said, I'm losing hope. There's a conclusion here. But number seven is knowing that heaven's our home. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which I thought would be the reading this morning. 2 Corinthians, Clara, cheer up, Clara.
It's not your fault.
I'm not sure it's not your fault. Well, it is, but I'm forgiving. Cheer up, I'm forgiving. But in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us. It works. The trial, the tribulation works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. If you keep your eyes on the struggle, on the trouble, the trial, the tribulation, you're taking your eye off the goal. Obstacles are what you see. You think, I can't attend worship assembly or Bible class or something like that. Oh, it's look at the situation I'm in. Well, no, take your eye off the obstacle. You look at the goal. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eye off the goal. You keep your eye on heaven, not on your adversity. Did you know that when you and I began our Christian journey, it began with a view toward the end? Right from the start, we had a view for the last. And all of these things, don't see them as obstacles, see them as helps and resources. But I want you to keep your eye on the goal. Set your affections, Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, on things above where Christ is. Set your affections there. You know, even a horse travels better when he's headed home. You know, when I was a youngster, we'd fall to you, we'd always take hay rides or sleigh rides, especially when there's youth rallies and things like that. Boy, everybody get on the back of that sleigh or that trailer and the horse would pull it. You know, it was supposed to be, we paid for an hour ride, and you'd go 45 minutes in one direction, away from the barn. You'd turn that horse around. That right? That horse, I mean, that head just picks up, and oh, that horse is headed home. Brethren, we're headed home. Pick your head up. Be of good cheer. That's the lesson. Brethren, we're going home. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, meaning you've not been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. Meaning that you've heard good news that God so loved the world, He gave a Son. And you, if you believe that gospel good news message, as Jesus said, if you're willing to turn your life around, you can escape a perishing. And be willing to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, to be baptized. Rise to walk in newness of life. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's the invitation. That's good news. Cheer up. There's hope. So let's sing the song that this is selected for.